It's the Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on the hospitality, music, and entertainment industry with insider tips and the hottest global guests in the biz. With Dr. D and special LA personal development commentator Mike Gormley. He's a restaurant and bar fixture, a partner with legendary rock star drummer Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui, and he's your radio host. And now, from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
The Jeremiah Show. And Dr. D, how are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic.
Have you been listening to these island beats with me all morning and just getting in the right mood? You know what's so great? Mike Gormley is the host of the show today.
Yeah.
And he's got a really, really special guest.
Looking forward to it.
Reggae God.
Oh, man.
Dr. D.
I probably going to want to talk to this guy about Rasta.
Yeah, well, you're just going to want to listen and maybe relax a little.
Okay.
It's so great.
Mike Gormley. Pina colada.
Yeah, he's taking over. So we can actually go to the beach and listen to the show, and you guys can just take it from there.
Okay, Mike, it's all his?
No, one second. I just wanted to introduce Mike Gormley. Gormley, as you know, listeners, fans of the Jeremiah Show, he hosts the show from time to time, and he always brings us some of the very best guests from around the world, musicians and artists. But Mike is a pretty talented guy himself. He is a career consultant, a manager, and works in PR with his company, LA Personal Develop. He was born up in Ottawa, and he's received top recognition as a journalist, a record company executive, artist manager, music supervisor for TV and films, and he's a marketing PR expert for over 40 years in the music industry. So, Mike, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for giving me a day off.
Yes, go to the beach. Have a good time.
Okay, guys, I'm out. Have fun. I can't wait to listen to the interview. Mike Gormley. Okay.
Thank you for that introduction. I wrote that myself, as a matter of fact. I'd love to introduce you to our guest today. Is boy, the list is long as to what his accomplishments are, but best known as drummer and percussionist for many reggae artists, including the greats such as Bob Marley and Burning Spear and Jimmy Cliff and Peter Tosh and Big Mountain, and the list goes on. Hello, Santa. This is Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. Right. So nice to have you here. Santa every once in a while, you know, a couple of times a month at a little gathering that takes place in Malibu. And I'll tell you this, he's a big guy with a heart of gold is the best way I can describe it. It's a very, very nice guy, but also a very talented guy. And so tell me, I guess I should get this out of the way. Your name is Carlton Santa Davis.
Well, Santa in the middle, it's kind of like a nickname, but my real name is Carlton Davis, Santa came from a, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I tell this story a couple of times. over the years. But it was around Christmas time, and I was riding a little skateboard. You know, we used to make our own skates in Jamaica at the time, you know. And I had this skateboard thing I was riding on, and I got in a little accident on the road. You know, well, not by traffic, but I, like, there was like a area in the road where there was like a tar, like some tar patch, like a tar patch. And it was sunny. It was really hot that day. And the tar, the asphalt tar kind of melted, and there was a stone. It's kind of weird. It was a little pebble. And, you know, we used those little ball bearings that they use in motor cars. And I was riding through this tar patch that I rode through every day, and hit this little pebble, and I landed on my face, and then I went to the clinic, and they put some, you know, antibacterial stuff on my face. So I had, like, red and blue spots on my face. And this family friend of ours, it was around Christmas time. So he usually comes down for Christmas from Canada. I saw my face with all the blue, the red and blue spots on it. I said, "Carter, how you look like Santa Claus?" There you go. I think I was like around 10 years old at the time. And the name stuck.
The name stuck. Yeah. Well, you could play Santa. You're a big guy. You're not heavy, but you're big.
Yeah, well, now I got the beard to the beard to show.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something. When you're talking about your youth and skateboarding and such, at this point, had you started playing drums? Because you started pretty early, right?
Yeah, I started when I was 11, actually, because I didn't have any access to drums before drum corps. So I entered the drum corps when I was 11 years old. So that's when I really, you know, started messing around with the drums and stuff like that. So yeah. You know, my music life actually started at 11 years old.
Well, I relate to that because I too started out playing drums, and I don't much anymore, but mm-hmm. I started at a drum and bugle corps in right. my high school. So I understand. That's basically it was in your high school, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't actually the high school. It was a church. It was a Catholic church. The name of the church was St. Peter Claver. And it was a church band. So they had the drum corps. And it was a way to stimulate young kids, you know, keep you out of the street. You know, it was called a Catholic Youth Organization, a CYO. And, you know, how I really got into that, I used to have to walk past the church to go to school, back and forth, going to school, coming from school. And I would hear the music, like, coming from school, you know, I would hear the drum and the bugles going off. And I'm like, well, you know. And then just one day, because they usually have the gates closed, so you couldn't go in. So this one day, I was passing, come from school, and I heard the music again. So I went over there, and the gate was open. So I went in, and it so happens that on that day, the gate was open for a good reason, because they were recruiting new people. So I said, sign me up.
Great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So what led to a more professional life? You know, you mean, so you're 11 and you're in a drum corps. How old are you when you kind of get down to what you would, I guess, I don't know, professional or even amateur drumming with a band or whatever? How did that evolve?
I was 16 years old at the time, because I went into the drum corps, spent a couple of years, and you could say I graduated, but you know, it wasn't something that, anyway, just call it, I graduated. At 16 years old, I left the drum corps, and that's when it all, but actually, I started messing around because, okay, let me give you the story. In the drum corps, you know, everybody had different function. So I was what they call a quartermaster. Quartermaster was, I make sure the equipment, all the instruments are maintained properly. they're stored properly, and when they go out, they come back in. So I was in charge of the equipment. So in this room, one day I got this idea. I said, you know what? I want to set up a drum kit, but I didn't have a regular drum kit. So you had the big marching big bass drum. I put that on the floor, and they had a little rinky-dink pedal. I put the pedal on that thing. And then they had this weird-looking snare stand. And then I had a small snare drum. I think it might have been a piccolo at the time. I didn't know it was a piccolo because I was, you know, I didn't know about that part of the thing. We were using regular, you know, the big snare drums and stuff like that. So right. I got this little mock kit. So I was in there playing, and there was this famous guitar player in Jamaica by the name of Bobby Akins. He had a group called the Caribbeats. So his name was Bobby Akin and the Caribbeats, and he's a guitar player. And he used to give guitar lessons at the church. So he was in this other room adjacent to the band room where the instruments are kept. And he heard me playing, but I was just playing like a regular boom, bam, boom, bam. And he came over, and at that time, it was rock steady, because, you know, our music evolved from like mento, ska, and then the slow scat down, and they call it rock steady. So at the time, it was that transition being made from ska to rock steady. So I was in there just playing 2 and 4, just playing. And then he came in the room, and he said to me, he was the first person that actually gave me an idea of how to really play, you know, the music of the day. And he said,
can you hold that thought just for a second, or you need to take a break?
All right, go ahead.
We'll take a break now. This is Mike Gormley sitting in for Jeremiah Higgins of The Jeremiah Show, and our special guest today, Santa Davis, a man from the world of reggae.
Carlton Santa Davis was the drummer for Ziggy Marley, Peter Tosh, and Bob Marley. Check out Carlton Santa Davis' latest album, Watch Your Liberty, on Apple Music and Spotify at Carlton Davis, Watch Your Liberty. Find him on Facebook at carlton.s.davis.
Africa, unite, 'cause the children wanna come home, yeah. Africa, unite, 'cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're grooving to our father's land. Yeah, how good and how pleasant it would be before God and man to see the unification of all Rasta man. Yeah, as it's been said already, let it be done. I tell you who we are under the sun. We are the children. We are the children of the higher man. So, Africa, unite. Africa, unite. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Wendy Knott, author, artist, and uplifter, and you're listening to Jeremiah's Show. I've just written a book called From Mutt to Magic. It's changing the stories of the day into joy and magic and inspiration. So thanks, Jeremiah.
Did you know that binge watching is bad for your brain?
What?
Crazy. Binge listening is way better. Binge listen to all of our shows on iTunes/podcast/The Jeremiah Show.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Find all of our past shows on iTunes, podcasts, The Jeremiah Show.
Hi, I'm Brooke Williamson, Top Chef Season 14 winner, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show, so don't go away.
Hi there, this is Mike Gormley, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. Jeremiah, of course, every once in a while just disappears on us, and so we have to step in and save the day. I am very pleased to say our guest today is Santa Davis, drummer, percussionist extraordinaire with some of the great reggae stars of our time. I think Santa can legitimately be dubbed royalty of reggae. He's one of the royals. Would you agree, Santa? You feel good about that?
Well, I mean, I'm part of the crew, you know, because it's the reggae community, you know, from where I'm coming from. It has always been a team effort, you know. A lot of people were involved, you know. So yeah. I would say I'm one of the link of chain, you know.
All right.
I don't want to take full credit for everything, because I can't, because there's so many other guys that really played great roles like I did. So, you know, it was all a team effort, you know.
Which feels good, right? It's good to be part of a group like that.
Of course. I mean, you know, the people that came before me, you know, and I still honor and respect them. So I feel good to be able to carry on the work that they started, you know, and then hand it off to somebody else.
Before we rudely interrupted you, you were telling us about sort of the beginning stages, your first professional gigs after coming out of school drum corps, St. Peter Claver Drum Corps. And you'd moved into what? Where were you at this point with you got your drum kit together?
Well, okay, so it wasn't real. I just put this thing together, and it wasn't really like the regular kit we play today. You know, the marching drums, they're, you know, most times they're always bigger. So I forgot the size of this drum. It might have been maybe a 26 or something like that, but it was a big drum, you know. And so I just put that down, and then, as I said, I was in there playing, and then Bobby Aiken, who he was one of big man back in those days, and when he had a band called Carabeats, Bobby Aiken and Carabeats, and they were popular at the time, you know, both doing studio stuff and live stuff, you know, and they had hits on the radio at the time too when I was growing up, and he was giving guitar instructions to people. You know, he used to come over there and give guitar lessons, and I should say, and he was in another room giving guitar lessons. And he heard me playing, but I wasn't doing the right thing. So he came over to me and he said, he told me that, look, type of music we play and all you want accent stuff, make sure the kick and the snare fall together, right? And then you play like an 8 note over here or 16, you know? So, and that's the first time I got introduced now to what is the real deal, because I'm getting it from one of the teachers, you know? And that's where I started practicing. And this might have been, this might have been around maybe 69 or something like that. I mean, it could have been 67, because it's so way back, I can't remember. But I know it was in that time period. And then I just started practicing. I didn't have a real drum kit, but I did what I could with what I had. And then 1969, I think, there was this band called The Graduates. And you know, it was this guy who, he was living in America for years, and he played the alto sax. And he came back to Jamaica, and he started a band. He was doing, like, club gigs and stuff like that. So at the time, there was a bunch of musicians passing through the group. You know, there was other guys who would play, but they weren't permanent. So I came along, in the same thing again. I heard the music playing. I went in there, and I said that I was interested, so I was standing there. I didn't want to impose myself on him, so I was standing there listening. And then he was like, so what do you do? And I was like, a little drum and stuff. And he said, okay, let me see what you can do. And I went around the drum kit. I wasn't that good at the time. I was still like in the infant stage of learning to play the drums, you know. I mean, that type of music, because I was proficient in the drum corps, because I was just using one piece of equipment. I was just using just a snare drum or because I was an all-around in the group. I would play snare drum. I would play a tenor drum, which we would call a tom-tom, you know? So yeah. It's kind of weird. I would play the snare, and sometimes I would transition to the tom, and I would play the bass drum, and I would play the cymbal. So check that out. You see that combination? So I was acquainting myself with all the pieces that we're using today. Kick, snare, toms, and cymbal, you know what I mean? But anyway, so I started playing, and he said, okay. So he had a drum kit there. So he said, okay, if you really want to learn to play and do this thing right, you can come and practice every day. So that I had access to that drum kit. And that's where my whole thing, that was my first gig. His name, he had this name, Koffi Kalli, K-O-F-I-K-A-L-I. Kind of mm-hmm. weird name. So he called it Koffi Kalli and the Gradients. And that's where my whole life started.
Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break here and pick up with a jump into some other activity, great activity.
Yeah, my music life, I should say.
All right, man. We'll take a break now. This is Mike Gormley sitting in for Jeremiah Higgins of The Jeremiah Show, and our special guest today, Santa Davis, a man from the world of reggae.
Carlton Santa Davis was the drummer for Ziggy Marley, Peter Tosh, and Bob Marley. Check out Carlton Santa Davis' latest album, Watch Your Liberty, on Apple Music and Spotify at Carlton Davis, Watch Your Liberty. Find him on Facebook at carlton.s.davis.
Yeah, reggae in my head, reggae in my head, reggae in my head. Reggae in my head, reggae in my head, reggae in my head. Sitting by the river, listening to her song, she played it all night long. She brought me from defeat, hypnotized by the beat. On the rocks I made my bed. She played reggae in my head, reggae in my head, reggae in my head, reggae in my head.
This is David LaBrava, and we are live in 5, 4, 3. Coming right at you on The Jeremiah Show, KZSP 1290 on your AM dial. Check out my podcast coming up. Check out the interview. It's trying to help some people find a better way.
Folks, this is Mike Gormley sitting in for Jeremiah Higgins at The Jeremiah Show. And joining us today is what we're calling reggae royalty, and that's Santa Davis, percussionist, drummer extraordinaire. Santa, we've covered the beginnings and how you got going. Were there some of the people you've worked with over the years, Peter Tosh and Bob Marley and the Wailers, of course, Burning Spear and so on and so forth. What was the community like? Were a lot of these people your friends, or did you not get to know them until they'd already entered the world stage? Were they around town, or how did that come out?
Well, okay, at the time, the music community in Jamaica is very small, because Jamaica is a small island. I mean, it's a big island, but it's also the music community centered in Kingston, right?
Right.
And the music originally, you know, started in Trenchtown, a place in Kingston called the Trenchtown. That was where a lot of the musicians came from. Even if they weren't born there, wherever they came from, they would end up in Trenchtown, because that's where all the talent was, you know? And there was also a street in Kingston called Orange Street. That's downtown Kingston. And they used to call it Beat Street, right? Because a lot of the record producers, that's where they're based. They are there. There was a lot of record shops on that street. And then a lot of the record producers at the time, they had their offices on that street. You know, and there was a famous studio on that street called Beverly's. It was Beverly's Record, and it was also Beverly's studio, recording studio. So, you know, but that was music central. But it was really, I would say it was a close-knit community because it was centered in that area. So if you wanted musicians, you had to go down there. And there was another street adjacent to the Orange Street that was called Chancery Lane. Chancery Lane was it was like in the heart of the city. And it was right beside another studio called Randy's Records. Randy's Recording Studio, and there are also some records downstairs. And on the corner is where a lot of musicians and just regular people would assemble. And they had a name for that corner because guys used to just come there and hang out. And they used to call it Igler's Rest. So you know, a lot of people just come there, sit, they call it, I call them Iglers. So they would sit there and they gave it that name. But that was where, if you wanted a musician, you have to go there, you know, because all of us would just be passing through at some point, you know. So
sure.
it was a close-knit community, you know, at the time when I was group, because it was easy. And the reason for that, you know, back then it didn't have cell phones and pagers and all that. So you had to be in the mix. You have to be, it's like a work site. You have to be at the work site to get work. You know what I mean? So these central locations were where you would have to go, or people know that you would establish yourself there. So you go on these corners at these various different areas where musicians would assemble, and then people would know that, okay, if you want to find so-and-so and so, you can go here. And even if you're not there, if this particular person want to record some music wanted you, they would leave a message with somebody and tell you to, you know, because the way they used to do it, they would say, okay, tell so-and-so to get to the studio at 10 in the morning or 5 o'clock this evening or whatever, you know? And then that's the way it goes. And then word would get around. If somebody knows where you live, they would come and find you. But it was a close-knit community.
Mm. Yeah. That sounds like a great way to learn and grow from there. What was your first we'll jump ahead a little bit. Because at the moment, here you are, you know, you're knowing the Marley family, Bob Marley in those days, and Peter Tosh and so on. Now you are traveling the world as the band for Ziggy Marley. And right. I think I saw you the other day, about a week ago, with Mystic Marley, who's Bob's granddaughter. I believe she was there with you, right?
Yeah. She was at Breakfast Club with her mom because she did a project with Richard, you know, kind of doing this armory of harmony. So they've been working together.
Yeah, we're talking about a great reggae song. Mystic's working with Richard Gibbs, a producer, and there's a project coming together that's going to be exceptional. And Santa played on that. Now. But my question is, it must be interesting perspective now that there you were hanging out in Kingston and Marley was around and these musicians were around. And now here we are with grandchildren and children and you're still part of the family. You ever sit back and say, well, you know, how did all this happen so quickly?
Well, you know what? Sometimes everything is like this. Sometimes when you're in the right place, the right time, everything lines up, you know. And I consider myself very fortunate to have had the opportunity to work with the Wailers, because you know, and to work with all these guys, you know, booked together and everyone, because I was exposed. You're exposed, and the thing is, if you step up your game, if you stay in the game the way you should, because It was a competitive world, but the thing is, it wasn't Well, I would say it was competitive in a way that you have to step your game up, because if you can't do what is required of you, you're not going to get any work, and nobody will want to work with you. So you have to practice, and you have to be innovative. You have to be quick, because in Jamaica at the time, you know, like for a lot of the horn players, they would write down notes and stuff like that. But in the business in Jamaica, people never have like a budget to sit in a studio for a whole day working on one song. So, for instance, you know, a lot of these guys, a lot of people at the time were just regular working people, but they love music. Their passion was music, so they were regular working everyday people, and they would save up some money to buy maybe 2 hours of studio time. And if somebody might say, look, man, I only have 2 hours or I only have 1 hour to do, I want six songs. You know what I mean? So within that 1 hour, you have to be quick. People have no time for waiting around, practicing and stuff like that. You know what I mean? They would run the song, the keyboard player would always be the guy that's assigned to getting the chord structure, and then boom, 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 let's go. And you record. And it was like a conveyor belt kind of system. But yeah, you have to be good at the time. But just like I said before, I consider myself very fortunate, because I got to play with the Wailers when it was the three of them together. And I can remember the first time I recorded with the Wailers was at a studio by the name of Dynamic Sounds in Kingston.
Sandra, we're going to jump just for a second, and we'll get back into that in a minute. This is Mike Gormley with the Jeremiah Show, replacing Jeremiah for one day only.
Carlton Santa Davis was the drummer for Ziggy Marley, Peter Tosh, and Bob Marley. Check out Carlton Santa Davis' latest album, Watch Your Liberty, on Apple Music and Spotify at Carlton Davis, Watch Your Liberty. Find him on Facebook at carlton.s.davis.
Heartbreak is so hard to take, and I lay down in the bed that I make, crying tears of change, fighting a revolution, my own revolution, my personal revolution. Baby, I need.
Hail, greetings. This is Santa Davis, and you're listening to the Jeremiah Show, KZSB, and AM 1290. I have an album that I released maybe a year or so ago, Watch Your Liberty. It's on iTunes, CD Baby, Spotify, it's out there. Type in Carlton Santa Davis, and you will see it come up. Check it out.
Take us with you in your car, to the beach, or to the gym. You can find all of our shows on iTunes/podcast/The Jeremiah Show.
What's up, guys? My name's Lennon Silvers Lee, head chef of a sushi bar in Montecito. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
A bed.
personal revolution.
Hi, this is Mike Gormley on the Jeremiah Show. Jeremiah Higgins has gone to the beach. We're going to talk and are talking to Santa Davis, a reggae musician of high note. Santa, you were about to tell us, very interesting, you were about to tell us your first time working with the Wailers and of course, Bob Marley. And proceed, if you would, with just that moment where you were just getting started.
Yeah, so that first time I encountered with these three brothers was, I think this was 19, maybe 71, 72, might have been 71 or 72. And I recorded this song, there was a song that they recorded, it was kind of like a R&B-ish kind of song, it's called High Tide, Low Tide. I think if you look it up, you'll find it. It's got like a ballady kind of vibe. And I was young back then, you know? And that's the first time I encountered with the Wailers, you know? And yeah, it was the three of them, even before they start growing locks. And then the next time I recorded with them again at this studio called Randy's Studio, which is downtown, I was telling you before. And we recorded the original version. It was, you know, they did a song called Sunny Shining. So I played the very original version of Sun is Shining. And there was also another song that they redid and they call it Duppy Conqueror. But the one that I played on, they used it. And there was this thing happening in Jamaica one time where there was this myth or there was this excitement going on about a coffin running around Kingston on wheels. If you Google it, you would maybe see it somewhere in the media somewhere. But they made this song called Mr. Brown. So the Mr. Brown rhythm was supposed to be Duppy Conqueror, but I guess they did a different version and they did Duppy Conqueror. But that's about my first encounter with the Wailers. You know, I consider that very, you know, thrilling. You know.
That's like being with, well, you were with them in the early days, but they became, the Wailers just was the, I guess, the premier band in at least worldwide acceptance and brought reggae to an awful lot of people that may not
have been. Oh, yeah. Because they were the Wailers. I mean, they were originally called the Wailing Wailers. But after Peter and Bonnie Wailers, after Peter Tosh, and Bonnie Wailers left the group, then I guess it was, you know, he said, okay, the band will be the Wailers. And then it was called Bob Marley and the Wailers. So he just gave the name to the band, you know? So that's how the whole thing started. And just like, you know, the rest of history, Bob Marley did so much, man. And I'm happy to have been a part of that.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. Tell me, you mentioned Peter Tosh, and you were with Peter Tosh for quite a while, right?
Yeah, I was. I worked with Peter from 1981 until the very moment of his passing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, do you mind getting into the incident that regarding his passing? Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Well, it's kind of tough talking about it. It's tough talking about it, but it was a tragic night, you know. It was one of those nights when it was a time, you know, you really can't forget it. You kind of deal with it, but to be short, it was just one of those nights when it was really unexpected, you know, because I've never been in a situation where I'll be, you know, held at gunpoint and told to get down on the floor. And it was just an incident where there was this guy that he was in prison for a while, and he came out of prison, and of course he didn't have a career, he didn't have anything, so he was just going around, you know, looking on handouts from different people. Well, I guess
that's he came sad. Let's before you get deep into it, we're going to take a break. So let's do that rather than interrupting you further into the story. I know you're not going to talk about it too much, and that's fine, but it'd be interesting to get your perspective. I should mention that's what Santa's talking about is that Peter Tosh was shot
and killed in his house. And Santa was lying right beside him and also got shot, but obviously is with us today. So we'll take a quick break on that glorious note. And this is the Jeremiah Higgins Show. Jeremiah is away. Mike Gormley is taking his place, and we'll be back in a minute.
Don't miss an episode of The Jeremiah Show. You can find all of our shows on iTunes/podcast/The Jeremiah Show.
Hey, this is Camilla Cleese, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
The Jeremiah Show soundtrack is always original, every single show. Did you know there are 10 original songs for each episode? The music on the show is a running soundtrack in my life. I'm always listening to new and original voices that inspire me. I listen for hooks in a song. I listen for melodies that add emotion to our show. If you listen carefully to the 10 songs, you will also find a subtle theme that underscores my guest's vision or just how I feel that day. If you'd like to hear one of your songs played on the show, email me at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com.
This is Mike Gormley, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We have a special guest today, Santa Davis, who's a drummer, percussionist in many, many reggae and important reggae bands, including the Wailers and Ziggy Marley at the moment, etc. We are going to wrap up the radio portion of this show, and those who have to move on will talk to you next time. At the moment, if you want to stick around, we're going into another 10-15 minutes of overtime, and we'll talk more with Santa, and he's talking about an incident with Peter Tosh, but we also have some more uplifting conversation to take place, so we'll see you in overtime.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. This is it, man.
Hi, this is Cole Robbins with USA Surf Team, and I am here on The Jeremiah Show. Feel free to reach out to me on my Instagram at Robbins_Cole, or you can always find me with Village Properties, and that is ColeRobbins@VillageSite.com.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at HJLRestaurantAdvisors.com. Check out our website at TheJeremiahShow.com. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Caroline, Shaylin, and Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at ShowJeremiah on Twitter and Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins. Special segments producers Caroline Peacock and Shaylin McHugh. And sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Evolve.
They were beautiful. The most beautiful sky has ever.